Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. As always, when I get a chance, I like to play on the computer and look up different websites and different lessons that men have taught throughout this country. And I try to look for more information that I can maybe add to my sermon outlines. And some are beneficial, some you got to stay away from. But the fact is, there is a lesson here that kind of touched me to a certain degree. I'll let you know later on in the lesson why. The fact that we sometimes get upset with somebody or we sneak up upon somebody while they're doing something and we cause them to maybe if they're cutting a board, rip it the wrong way and make a mistake and they say, "Look what you made me do. Look at the mistake. Look what I gotta do now. I gotta start from scratch." How many times have you heard your children say, "It wasn't my fault. Look what he made me do." My three boys always constantly like to use that term. And I know children like to do that, and sometimes we as adults like to use that little sentence. "Look what you made me do." Hear this a good bit down at work when there's a mistake and you're trying to help them, but sometimes you help them slip up and they yell at you. And they make that statement. But the first time we can really read about this statement being made, turn over to Genesis, the third chapter. In verses 12 and 13, we can read about Adam and Eve. "And the man said, 'The woman who you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' And what did they say? Adam says, 'Look, what she made me do. She tempted me with this fruit. She made me eat of it.'" What, did she really? Did she have a gun at his head that said, "Eat"? Or did she have a knife to her throat and said, "You partake of this fruit? It's good." Then God turns around and looks at Eve and says, "What have you done?" "Well, you know that serpent that you made, that you created upon this earth? They came up and told me, 'Look, partake of this fruit, you shall not die.'" In a sense, they're trying to blame God. If you sit back and think about the things they are saying within these verses. Because Adam's trying to blame the wife, and the woman is trying to say, blame the serpent, which are all created by God. And sometimes we have a tendency to do that. And we got to be careful of what we say, that we do not try to blame God of the things that goes wrong around about us and around about way. But we can also look at another verse. Let's talk about Aaron. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, beginning at verse 22. Exodus 32, verse 22. "So Aaron said, 'Do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people that they are set on evil. For they said to me, "Make us gods that shall go before us." As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, "Whoever has any gold, let them break it off." So they gave it to me. And I cast it out into the fire, and this calf came out." Now, think about what you're saying. Don't be mad at me. It's this group of people that made me do this. We don't know what happened to Moses. We gave up on him. He's been gone for so long. We thought maybe he died up on the mountain. So we asked Aaron to do something. Aaron says, give me your gold. As they got the gold up, he tossed it in the fire. Automatically a captive appears. Out of the blue. People made me do this. So don't be mad at me. Look what they made me do. Are we the same one? When something happens in our lives, do we try to blame others for what has taken place? Are we like the children of the world? My three sons or your children, you try to put the blame on the other one? Look what they made me do. Well, think about it. When I was little, they made me go to church all the time. So when I got older, I quit the church. Well, just think about that a little bit. Did they make you comb your hair and brush your teeth too? What happens if you don't get your teeth brushed? Or you comb your hair? Hair gets bad enough, if you don't comb it for a long enough time, you have to shave it off. Because you'll never get the knots out. Right? Don't brush your teeth, you end up at the dentist's office. Laying in that chair. Having everything taken out. So you thank your parents, don't you, for making you do such things? Don't you appreciate your parents because they help guide you, they took you to the doctors when you were sick, made you take the medicine so you could get well, that you were able to make you go to school so you can learn things, so that you can have a job. Yeah, we ought to be grateful. We got to learn that. Look what you made me do, though. You made me go to church all the time. I don't want to go. Good for you. There's a reason for it. We're trying to save your soul. You may not realize it now, but years to come, you'll learn what we're trying to do. Oh, look what you made me do. Businessman drinks socially, justifies saying, my boss won't promote me unless I play along. How many times have we heard that? How many times have you seen people down at the job and they call them the squealers because anything that happens, even if somebody stubbed their toe, they're right in the office to let the bosses know what happened, what took place. Trying to rationalize the compromise, and it's contrary to what Romans the 12th chapter, verse 21 says, be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Another cross-reference that I don't have mentioned here is Romans the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We are not to be conformed to the world. We're not to act like them. If it means costing us moving up for our job, we're to be honest. We're to be faithful in our job. When the boss isn't around, we work the same way as if he was standing there watching us. How many times have you seen an individual as they're working like an eager beaver? Come on. I was back here doing this and that. I don't know what happened. I was busy. I was working. Look what you made me do. See? We need to be careful that we're not that way. Colossians 4 chapter, verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. We got technical difficulties. I got to blame somebody, I guess. But fact is, Colossians 4 chapter, verse 5. We need to walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time. We need to make good use of our time. And sometimes we get to the point we like to blame others why we're so busy and things. And I'm just as guilty as everybody else on doing that at times. Never have enough time to do this or that. How many times do we sit down and try to study God's Word? How many times do we get down on a computer and try to study? There are CDs out there that you can download that got Bible studies to them, commentaries. Study. It's not that difficult. Compared to what other things, to what the Scriptures teach, and maybe you can come up with what the Bible's trying to get across. If we don't truly understand. How many times do we call somebody up and say, hey, there's a tough verse I'm trying to get across. I'm not quite understanding it. Can you help? Can you work with me? Can you come over to the house or I come over to your place? Let's sit down and study these verses. So I can get the correct understanding of what God's trying to say to me. How often do we do this? Okay. Look what you made me do. One may get angry, lose his temper, take the Lord's name in vain, and you say, who caused me to do that? How many times have you heard somebody say that? How many people have you heard get aggravated at something? Well, if he didn't do that, if it wasn't for them cutting me off, I would never got aggravated. They pulled right in front of me. I had to do something. Got any skin. Made me aggravated. Now, there's no honor in holding your temper if there's never an occasion to turn it loose. Turn with me to Ephesians 4th chapter, verses 26 and 27. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. As I mentioned before, I like them old Western shows, Gunsmoke and some of the other ones, Cheyenne and some of the others. And there's an advertisement for Gunsmoke, Matt Dillon. Says, went to bed angry, got up the next day angrier. I got madder. That happens. When we go to bed, and we don't have something that is taken out of our mind and tossed aside, our anger, overnight, you think about it, you dwell upon it. And the next day, you get just a little bit more matter at the things that took place the night before. Watch a little bit of the Pirate game the other night. One got beamed with a 101-mile-an-hour fastball. He threw a fit and threw stuff in the dugout. Next day, he come back out about 2 innings into the game to hit another batter. They get aggravated. They're bad. They're riled up now. As he's walking down to first base, the pitcher walks over and starts saying, come on. Let's go at it. Come on. You made me throw it. Yes, sir. I'm going to take you on. I don't want you hitting the ball. Umpire had to step in between and settle the two differences and end up throwing the wrong manager out, in my opinion, but I'm being prejudiced. I'll admit to that. But the fact is, we gotta control our anger. Yeah, we do get aggravated once in a while. And I'll be one of the first ones to admit when I was a teenager and trying to get into my 20s, I used to be aggravated all the time. Every little tiny thing would set me off. Now, finally figured out I have to try to learn to control it before it controls me and me maybe doing something I shouldn't do. So I try to devise ways to overcome that anger. I've discovered one way to do that is pray to God. As soon as you start feeling that anger starting to come on, sing a song. Think of one of the hymns in the song book. Sing and be happy. I'm happy today. Now, that's hard. Believe me, it's difficult. Especially when you're getting aggravated. When you want to be upset and tell somebody off. Step aside. Count to 10. Think of something you can say and maybe sing to yourself. Pray to God for the strength to overcome that temptation to say something that you shouldn't. Exodus, the 20th chapter, and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. But at the same time, we don't maybe use those terms, but we use euphemism. We use words in place. Hey, Mom used to get mad at me all the time because I used to like to use her as an example. Always got me in trouble when I got back out of the building and says, why did you have to say that? But it wasn't because I hated her or anything. Because I cared because of examples that I've seen that we could use as ourselves to teach others. Peter McPherson stopped down at the house. They held a gospel meeting. And she got aggravated one day and she said, baloney. And he looked at her and said, you're wrong. Huh? You're wrong. You should never ever say something like that. It's standing for another term. And we use terms golly and other such words like that in place of cussing and swearing. And we need to quit it. We need to put a stop to it. Because people know what you're thinking or have an idea of what you're trying to get across. But people, when they get mad, look what you made me do. Now I gotta repent. Now I gotta go up front and make it right in front of everybody. All because of you. Is that right? Look what you made me do. Glory Seekers have said they wouldn't call me enough times, so I quit the church. But what is your purpose from going to church? Do you want to be do what you can be done to see by men? Or are we to please God? We must learn to follow as well as lead. Matthew, the 23rd chapter, beginning with verse 5. But all our works, they have to be seen by men. They made their phylacteries broad and enlarged the borders of their garments. They loved the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greeted in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They always done things so they could be seen of men. At the same time they taught things for you to do, they never fulfilled it themselves. See? What have you made me do? Other things some people say, well, some say the preacher preached right at me, so I'm not going back anymore. I know he's aiming at me. question is, what's the preacher supposed to do? Preach against sin? Isn't that his responsibility? To let us know how we are to be inside of God? Oh, yes. Provided he doesn't specify any of mine. He can talk about everybody else. Just leave me alone. Make me aggravated so I quit. I don't want to hear it anymore. He's the cause of it. And once you get rid of him, I'll come back. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, 4th chapter. Verses 1 through 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort, all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come that when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desire, because they have itching ears, they will heap up themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. We can't back off from teaching the truth because somebody don't like it. We got to teach the truth as it is in accordance with God's Word. We try to do it because we love you. We try to teach the gospel because we care about your soul. I'm caring about my soul likewise. I need to learn these things too. I need to apply these things just as well as everybody else. Think the apostles were perfect? Paul had to confront Peter. Paul said he had to buffer his body daily. He had to fight. He had to keep himself under control. Don't you think he didn't get mad now and then? Don't you think he got discouraged at times? He's a man. The reason I picked this lesson, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to be upfront and honest about it. 25 years ago, my mom took sick. Had a group of brothers saying she wasn't dying. 3 months later, she died. I got aggravated. Yeah, I got mad. I confronted men about it. Told me what I had to do. I couldn't see no need in it because I didn't do anything wrong, because when we went up to see her, we attended services up there, and I had the letters to prove it from the congregation. They thanked me for visiting with them. So I left, went to another congregation, worshiped with them for about a year and a half, attended every service, every night of the gospel meeting they had. They started making phone calls over, trying to cause a little ruckus. So, went to another congregation because they didn't want to get involved. Worship with them, try to work with them a little bit. Same thing happened. I said, forget it. I quit. I'm done with it. 13 years. I held a grudge against the congregation. You know what the problem is? I made that statement. Lord, look what they made me do. I finally realized, and it took 13 years. Now, I wish I had those 13 years back, because all the knowledge I had at that time, I lost at least half of it, because I didn't study the Bible like I was trying to do at that time. 13 years. I finally realized, you know what? I can't answer for what other people do. I got to answer for what I do. I'm responsible for what I've done. Nobody else. Oh, I'm to be there for one another. We're to be there. We're to help each other. We need to be. But I didn't come back until I finally realized I have to answer for what I do. And that's what I'm trying to get across this evening. I know there are some. I'm pleading with you. Think about your soul. Get away rid of them grudges. Get rid of your anger. Get rid of the attitude that I got to be pleasing to man more than God. Realize that you got to answer for yourself. Because you're going to answer for God one way or the other. And we got to understand that. Why that lesson touched me. Because it made me remember the things I went through. And I regretted to this day leaving the church for those 13 years. And basically had to start all over again. Trying to get part of that knowledge back that I lost. And I'm pleading with you. It's not worth eternal damnation. Because you might have an ought with some brother. You're wrong. And I'll show you why. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 48, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him, the word that I have spoken. Will judge him in the last day. Who? He'll judge you. Me. They're going to judge everybody else. It's going to judge them all. But on an individual basis, we're going to face God not as a group here. We're going to face God on an individual base. Each one of us is going to be marching up and saying, my name in the book of life. No? Why? What have I done wrong? Oh, it is? It's in the book of life? Okay. Get to go to heaven with God forever. Also, Romans 6 chapter, verse 2. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. I lost 13 years. If I died, I lost my soul in that time. I'm pleading with you, don't make that same mistake. I'm pleading with you to do something about it this evening. I may walk out that door, get struck by lightning. Tree may fall down on me. I may go down the highway and some tractor trailer or car crosses the highway and hits me. I don't know. I could have a chest pain and have a heart attack. Have an aneurysm. Fall over. There's so many things that can happen. It's not worth it. You know what's worth it? Being a Christian. Trying to do the things God wants you to do. Getting to heaven. They'll answer for what they do. And if they don't correct themselves, then they have a problem. And they're going to have a bigger problem at the judgment day. I'm trying to get you to realize we, each one of us, are going to have to give an answer for what we each do in this building, not as a group. I think sometimes the body of Christ gets the idea that the congregation gets the idea, Well, we're judged by if we're sound, or if we're sound as a congregation, then we'll all get to go to heaven. Nah. As Brother Jared brought up in the book of Revelation, there were some in that congregation that was pure, that had white robes, that was trying to do right, but the majority of the congregation was dead. But you had a few that was doing the work. And they were trying busy to edify the others, to get them to understand, to wake up. Quit saying, Lord, look what they made me do, and do something about it. Are you ready for heaven? Are you ready for eternal damnation? We need to think about these things. We really need to question ourselves. How do we stand before God? Don't make the same mistake I made years ago. Please, do something about it. It may be one that has heard God's word for all these years. Keep waiting. I'll wait until next service. Maybe I'll do it then. Or maybe next week, or maybe next month. I just want to have my little bit of fun before. Don't wait. Do something about it. All you have to do is hear His word. Believe that Christ came and lived upon this earth, died upon that cross for our sins, rose up on the third day, sent it back to His Father. The fact that we must repent of our sins, willing to change our life, not live for ourselves, but live for others. Live for God. Getting ahead of myself. Confess your sins. I'm out of confession. They can confess us before His Father. Be baptized, buried with Him, in chorus of Romans 6 chapter, verses 3 and 4. Buried with Him in a watery grave, raising up as a new creature. Live a faithful life to death. This first step sounded easy, but that last one, it's a little difficult at times. As I said, we get angry. We get mad. We get disgusted. We let others get to us. And then we try to put the blame for our mistakes upon them. It don't work. And if we make that mistake, we need to repent of those mistakes. We need to confess to God we're wrong. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, brother, for what I've said, what I've done. So we can go to God in prayer on your behalf. Ask forgiveness of your sins. That you can get to heaven. Look at Job. He repented. You ask God to forgive him. He humbled himself. And then he offered up a sacrifice for the other three men. Prayed on their behalf. So they could be found righteous in the sight of God. That's what we're praying with you this evening. Do something before it's too late. Do something before you lose your soul. Again, don't make that same mistake I made years ago. I was fortunate. God gave me the life and time to come back. I'm pleading with you. Time's running short. I don't know how much time you have. Do something. Please. Think about it. As we stand and sing the song of invitation.